This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you older people here, and I include myself in that category, how many of you older people remember the game show with Monty Hall called Let's Make a Deal? Okay, quite a few of us here. Well, if you recall, Monty would usually present people with very difficult decisions to make. For example, let's say one of the contestants won an expensive prize or a large sum of money. More times than not, Monty would say, "Wait, you're not done yet. I have a deal for you." And at that point, Monty would point to a door, and he'd say, "Are you willing to give up everything that you've won to have what's behind that door?" What a dilemma. The contestants would have to decide if they were willing to risk their winnings for the possibility of getting something even better. Of course, they could also end up trading their winnings for worthless junk, and then they would be really disappointed. Well, sometimes, as you know, they would simply keep what they had already won. But other times, they would trade it all. On some occasions, they were glad they did trade it all because the prize behind that door was worth far more than what they had already won. Of course, those people were extremely happy. But others would find out that they had traded their winnings for worthless junk, and they were obviously quite sad. Now, with that picture in your mind, imagine the following scenario. A man on Let's Make the Deal trades all his winnings for whatever is behind the door. And when the door is opened, there sits a bag of stinking garbage. Of course, everyone is waiting for the man to hang his head in utter disappointment, but instead, he jumps up and down, and with a huge smile on his face, he says, "Praise the Lord! What an awesome treasure! I am so glad I traded everything to have what was behind that door." Now, we could never imagine a man acting that way after trading all his winnings for a stinking bag of garbage. But what we need to understand is this. Jesus did exactly that for us. With that said, let's examine today's gospel reading. Today is the third of three sermons based on the kingdom parables of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 13. And as you learned before, Jesus used these parables to sort out believers from unbelievers. The unbelievers would hear Jesus' parables and they would conclude that he was either evil or insane, and they would usually just walk away. However, those who believed that Jesus was who he said he was, well, they would come to him so he could explain the parables to them. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus' parables are about the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Well, as we also learned in the last two Sundays, God's kingdom is about the Father sending his Son into the world to seek and save the lost. In other words, the kingdom of God is about Jesus serving and saving his enemies. For instance, at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the angel says the following to Joseph. He says, "You shall call the baby Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." With that understood, we're now ready to learn about the meaning of the two kingdom parables in today's gospel reading. Listen again to the first parable. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Now, what does this parable of Jesus mean? Well, unlike the parables we heard the past two Sundays, Matthew does not record any explanation that Jesus may have given for this parable. However, if we examine the message of the entire Gospel of Matthew itself, it becomes clear what Jesus is trying to teach us. So, before I use the message of Matthew's Gospel to explain the meaning of this parable, I would first like to give you another explanation of this parable that is far more common, but I also believe it is wrong. For example, many sincere Christians hear this parable about the hidden treasure, and they interpret it this way. They'll say, "Oh, obviously this parable means that Jesus is saying that he is our treasure, and he's worth more to us than anything else we have in life. And so we should be willing to give up everything we have just to have a saving relationship with Jesus." Now, at first, this interpretation sounds really good. I'll be honest with you, for many years, I thought that was the interpretation of the parable. Obviously, in one sense, Jesus really is our greatest treasure. I also agree that we should be willing to give up everything in order to have his salvation. So, according to this interpretation, the treasure in the field is Jesus, and we are the ones who give up everything to have him. Now, as nice as that sounds, the problem with this interpretation is that it gets the message of the kingdom of God backwards. You see, the kingdom of God is not about us finding Jesus and then giving up everything to acquire his forgiveness and love. Instead, the kingdom of God is about Jesus finding sinners and giving up everything so that those same sinners can become his treasured possession. In fact, that is the primary story of the Gospel of Matthew. With that said, I would now like you to listen to the proper interpretation of this parable. Simply put, Jesus is teaching that we sinners are his treasure. Even though we are worthless sinners, Jesus was willing to give up everything, even give his own life on the cross, just so we could become his treasured possession. You see, Jesus wants us to believe that he really does love us that much. Sadly, those who refuse to believe that they are sinners who need to be saved by Jesus, well, they will sadly never experience what it means to be Jesus' treasured possession. However, those who believe what Jesus says about our sin and then trust in him for salvation, such as these can rejoice in being God's treasured possession for all eternity. Now, having said that, I should point out that there is something that we do need to give up in order to become Jesus' treasured possession. We need to give up our pride. We need to give up the evil idea that we can buy God's love and mercy by making deals with God. We need to give up our life of doing things our way. We need to give up our life of ignoring God's word. You see, that's why God uses his word to humble us. He moves us to repent so that we can rejoice in the fact that Jesus was willing to give up all that he had so that we could be forgiven and become his treasured possession for all eternity. Now, with all that understood, I really don't need to spend a lot of time explaining the meaning of the second parable about the pearl of great value. You see, this parable has the same meaning as the first parable about the treasure in the field. Simply put, even though we are by nature worthless sinners, stinking bags of garbage. God traded everything for us because to Him, you are a pearl of great value. That's right. God loves you that much. Jesus sold all He had, so to speak, and He bought you for Himself. Of course, what was the price He paid? Well, listen to these words from 1 Peter. Peter says that God bought our salvation not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Sadly, those who take pride in themselves and trust their own opinions, they won't find much value in Jesus' parables. But we sinners, who are worth nothing more than a stinking bag of garbage, we find great comfort in today's two kingdom parables. Think about it. Even though God ought to throw us into the eternal garbage heap known as hell, instead, He treated His own Son like garbage, so that we could become His treasured possession for all eternity. Do you know what? Once you understand this about God, you can't help but want to follow Him. You can't help but want to serve Him. You can't help but want to give your all for Him. Once you believe that God loves you that much, you want to hang on His every word because you know that His teaching will be a blessing to you. In our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, we heard God say that His people were His treasured possession. Those words apply to you, too. And by the way, God didn't choose you because you were better than other people. God chose you because He loves you. And He proved that love by sending His Son to the cross for you. So when you leave this place today, I want you to remember how shocked Monty Hall would have been if one of his contestants would have jumped up and down for joy after trading everything for a bag of stinking garbage. We would have a hard time understanding that too. And that's because we can't even begin to comprehend the awesome love of Jesus. You see, my friends, Jesus is jumping up and down for joy right now because He traded everything just to have you as His treasured possession. So leave this place today knowing that you are God's treasure and live accordingly. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.